Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today's Thursday, October 10th. We're back from Yom Kippur, although we were here. All the other Jewish people were at home, except we have to work here. So I'm feeling really guilty about it. I always do every year. But we work 7 days a week here, and I know it's not an excuse, but you know. So if you want to see us today, we have a guest in the studio. We also have a guest co-host. You can check us out on Facebook Live, which is on LA Talk Radio's page, and you can see us there. I'd like to introduce Brenda. Welcome to the show, Brenda.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And then we have a guest here. We'll introduce him in just a second. We're going to talk about interesting things, I think. So you wrote a novel and everything, so we'll get to that in just a moment. Brenda, a little bit about yourself. Are you an LA native?
I am not an LA native.
Mm-hmm. Where did you move from?
I am a California native.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm originally from Stockton, California.
Okay. Nobody's ever heard of that, but
yeah,
okay.
You stop there to get gas. You might go to the good Applebee's.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I moved here from the Bay Area. So I've kind of been everywhere. I moved from Stockton to Vegas. Mm. I was a showgirl there.
That really? Wow.
Yes.
What kind of a show was that?
It was not the...
No,
some,
not
some
not
people
the
say
nude
showgirl.
Ones.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Not the nude
not
ones,
the nude.
Right? You don't have to
the
be the
family
type.
One. The family one. No, it was the company was actually called Showgirl Mafia Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun. We would get called out to casinos. It was mostly posing for photos and some dances here and there, but mostly just posing for photos. So
sounds cool.
Yeah. After a while, I got used to posing like this. My friends are like, "You're not working." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Oh, like for pictures and
yes,
stuff,
for
right?
Normal pictures.
You got used to it.
Yeah, I
wow.
got used to it.
How yes. did you get that job? Did you move to Vegas first, or did you get the job first and then move?
I did. I moved to Vegas from Stockton right after I graduated high school. A year later, I bought a car, and I'm like, "I'm going to Vegas."
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, I had a friend there, so I moved there with her.
Okay.
And she was an interesting one. She was like those new age hippies. She's so funny. I love
really?
Her. Yeah. She got me to be vegan for about 6 months. That was interesting.
Really?
So.
But only for 6 months, right?
Only, yeah.
You're
was,
back to meat now?
I mean, now I'm trying to do, you know, in Los Angeles, everybody's vegan and veggie.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be a pescatarian, but...
So that's eating fish, but not meat, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes chicken, but I'm
yeah.
Hispanic. So when I told my mom, "Oh, I'm not going to eat meat," she's looking at me and she just looks at me. She goes...
Yeah, how can you not, you know?
She's like, "You're Hispanic, what
yeah,
do you
we
mean?
Have a million types of meat here, you know? Yeah. So that's funny, yeah. I know, like the down the street from me, they have this... this truck with Mexican food, and there's always a million people there, but all the meats they make is unbelievable,
oh,
you know?
Right?
I mean, the pork and the chicken and the beef and all that, the steak and all that. I love this stuff, you know?
They have the
so I don't know. But you know what? I just realized I haven't had meat in a few days because I don't know if you know, but last week I had a stroke. I had a stroke. Did I tell you?
Yes.
I told you, right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. And people who listened earlier this week know about it, but in everybody on Facebook. But so I had a stroke driving on the freeway last week, and I don't know how I made it alive, but after that, the doctor said, "You got to drop this and this and this and start eating healthy, like Mediterranean diet," which is a lot of vegetables and things like
a
that, right? Olive oil and all that.
Yeah.
So I took that to heart and haven't had any meat. Although meat is fine, you know, but I've been eating all these vegetables and bread and stuff like that, you know, so and cheese and that. So it's pretty good food. But I realized I haven't had meat for a week and I love meat, you know. I make steak and stuff a couple times a week and things like that. So but hey, if it works for you, that's fine, you know.
I mean, the Middle Eastern diet is very vegetable-oriented.
Right.
And they have a lot of good
This is
veggies.
Actually Mediterranean, not Middle Eastern, which means like the whole Mediterranean. Oh, okay. So Italian and French and Spanish. Oh, they all eat the same, you know, Greek. So, but yeah, I mean, I grew up on Middle Eastern diet, and that's pretty good, too. I mean, that's very similar, you know. So, yeah.
They have salad with every meal.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's how I am, you know. So that's cool. Now, I overheard you saying you were in Israel recently.
I was.
Really?
Yes, I was.
Why did you go to Israel of all places?
I love Israel. So the guy I'm dating, my fiance, he's Israeli.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
so you recognize my accent probably pretty much,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Okay.
And I saw the hamsa and the mezuzah on the door, and I'm like, oh, okay.
You can relate to that.
I can relate. Also the diet, you know, I can relate to that.
Yeah. So you eat a lot of falafel and shawarma and things like that?
Shawarma? That's
love
the
it?
Only one I can never give up, you know?
Yeah, right?
Secretly eat and be like, oh, yeah, I'm a pescatarian.
Does he take you to restaurants here in the valley or in the city?
No,
or?
He takes me to his parents' house, which is better than a restaurant. They used to own a restaurant, I don't know if you know, called King David way back.
Really?
Way back, yes.
I don't know. I don't remember it. Was it like in the city or in the valley?
It was more in the city. It was by Pico.
Okay.
By Pico,
that's the area of all the Jewish people and stuff and the Jewish restaurant.
Yes. I shop there a lot at the Galat Market, and everybody thinks I'm Persian or, you know, they're like, merci, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, I don't speak. I'm like, shalom.
I know. People always like stereotype people, the way they look and stuff, you know. That's funny. So you went to Israel with your boyfriend, and did you like it there?
I love it. That was the second time I've been with him. So this time we went for a bunch of bar mitzvahs. We went for a wedding. So we go visit his family. He goes about every summer.
Oh, okay.
And it's so nice. It's so hot and humid, right? But it's
in the summer. Yeah,
in the summer. But you get the most beautiful golden tan.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
and
the beaches are unbelievable.
Oh,
right.
Oh my goodness, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow. It's so nice. And the food.
Yeah, I know.
So good.
Well, good for you. I asked you because people usually the first destination is not necessarily Israel, but people that have sort of like a connection with it go there. You know,
yes.
So. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah,
are you
it.
Jewish?
I am converting. I'm planning to convert.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
If his family's watching, they're probably
religion.
Like, "What? When are you gonna do it?"
So you're planning to marry the guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You
yes.
see, that's what all Israelis do to their girlfriends, man. They turn them into Jews.
But I actually, sorry, when you said about Yom Kippur, I actually fasted yesterday. Was
did
the
you?
First year I fasted? Yes.
Wow. And it worked for you?
I mean,
it's hard,
I was
right?
hangry, but yeah, I was like, okay, we can do this again.
Yeah, I know. Not me, a very bad, bad boy. But yeah, you know, I don't know, man. It's hard for me to believe that if you don't fast, you're going to die the following year. You know, it doesn't work that way. But what can you do, you
I
know?
I think whatever makes everybody comfortable, you know. It's just,
yeah.
We were having that conversation, my boyfriend and I. So
yeah.
He's pretty open. He's open. He's an open Jew.
Good. Good. Open Jews are good. Awesome. And where else have you traveled?
I have traveled. So I went to Italy as well.
Did you?
So after Israel, my mother, she joined us in Israel, and my aunt, her sister, and my cousins, and we went for her 61st birthday. Sorry, Mom, I had to say your age.
Yeah.
She looks great, though.
It's okay, yeah. At this point, who cares, right?
Yeah, so we went to Italy for her birthday, and it was amazing. We went to Florence, Rome, Venice, Naples, Positana, Amalfi Coast. It was
I know. I was there when I was probably 13 years old, so I don't remember much, but I remember it being beautiful. And the food there is good too, right?
It's the food. I was really on a pasta, gelato, pizza diet. Yeah. It was I would have probably 2 gelatos a day.
Yeah, why not?
But you walk a lot, so you work it off.
Yeah. Well, very cool. I welcome you to the show. Thank you for joining us. And we're
going
to bring on our guest right now. I don't want you to sit too much without saying anything. People get impatient. You know, it's like, hey, I'm here to talk. And we're joined by Mr. Peter Seth. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Hey, Sam.
Thank you for joining us. And we've been postponing this interview for like several weeks now because things don't work out. You know, it's like, one day he didn't show, one day I didn't show, and all this stuff happened. And then I went to the hospital last week. So, but you're finally here, Peter.
Thank you. I'm
and
glad
we're
to be
happy
here.
To, that you're here.
Welcome.
You're an author. Right?
Yes.
Do you do anything else other than writing?
Nope.
Write
and promote the book. Yeah. When it's out. Mainly, I'm just a writer.
Now, have you been that way all your life, or have you had different professions over the years?
No, pretty much I've been writing my whole life. Just out of college, I went to work for some book publishers to just have a first job out of college.
Wow. So you've been writing a lot. What do you write usually? I mean, today we're going to talk about your fiction book called When I Got Out. But what are some of the other things? Have you written any nonfiction at all?
No, I had written some TV and some films, stuff that never got made, stuff that was in development. So I finally decided I'm just going to write a novel that I can control and get out there. And that's what I've been doing. So this is the second novel that I have out.
Really? Wow, very good. So what was the first one you wrote?
The first book was called What It Was Like.
Uh-huh.
And that came out about 5 years ago. And it was the story of a teenage obsessive romance that leads to violence and tragedy.
Yeah.
And now this book picks up the story 40 years later when the boy gets out of prison after 40 years and tries to redeem his life.
Wow. So this is a sequel pretty much, right?
It is. It's a sequel, but it stands alone. You don't have to have read the first book to have read this.
How long did you make your fans wait for the sequel?
5 years.
5 years. 5 years. I work as hard as I can. I wish I were faster, but it's just...
Yeah.
I'm as fast as I am. You know?
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, that's what writing a book is about, right? You can't rush it, right?
No, you just have to show up every day and work.
Right, and write something, right?
Write something. You have to sit there until it comes.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. When you write a fiction story, do you know how it's going to pan out through the whole book? Do you know the ending before you write, sit down and start writing?
I have some good idea of where I'm going. But most often what happens is the characters sort of change your plot as it goes along, and you have to change the story to honor the reality of what you're doing.
Right.
So
that's very interesting, because the story sort of unfolds, and you adjust yourself to the way the story, even though you're the one writing it.
Totally. A lot of times I think I know where the story's going, but then suddenly I'll get to a point where I'm saying, no, he wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
He's too smart. I've set him up as too smart to make that mistake, so... You're always tinkering with the plot till you get it right, as right as you can.
Sounds good. Well, we're going to get more into the books, but let's find a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
I'm from New York.
New York?
Born in Brooklyn, raised on Long Island, went to college in Manhattan and Westchester, so all around New York.
Very nice. And when did you move here? A long time ago?
30 years ago.
30 years ago. Wow, almost as long as I. I've lived here 44 years, so I'm ready to leave.
I know. You're talking about Oregon. I think I'm here for the duration.
Yeah, right? Oh, you've heard me talk about Oregon.
I listen.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. But, everybody knows I want to move to Oregon and everything, but I don't know where I'll end up, but L.A. is not in the plans for me in the future anymore.
Are
you know,
you're over the traffic.
I'm over everything.
That's the big price.
I've gotten into nature a lot, and I'm not happy with what I'm finding here. A lot of dry brush, a lot of people everywhere you go. You know, all the nice camping places are full of people. When I was in Oregon last year, and I took a road trip. I found so many spots that were just alone with the water, with the river, with the stream. And I thought, this is what I like, you know. Let me light up a joint or something. and
connect. Come back to California.
Yeah, connect with nature. Oh, no, they have weed there, too.
But can you get radio guests up in Oregon?
Well, that's not the point. I'll be over the radio by then, you know. It's going to be a different life. I mean, look, I'm almost 60. I'm ready to semi-retire at least. And at least do the things I want to do, you know. I'm not going to stop working ever, but I don't want to work like a maniac like I do here. It's too much. Mm-hmm. 12 years I've been running this radio station. And, it's pretty much the same, you know. You do the same every day. And I get tired. I've never done anything that long, for that long, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but the situation is, look, you've lived in a place for 40 years. You've gotten everything you can out of it. And you want something fresh and new, you know? I mean, while I was here, I lived in South Africa for a year. And I saw how great it is to live somewhere else, you know? It was amazing there. It was unbelievable. The people were nice. The animals were nice. Everybody was nice. but that's
radio
too far.
Yeah.
No radio. Yeah. That was back in the 90s I went. But no, so the radio's been, you know, for the past 12 years. But it doesn't mean I always have to do it, you know. I always like new things, fresh things, you know. I also change women every few years, you know, because I get tired. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, so you went there. What made you move to L.A.?
Well, my wife, speaking of women, my wife got a job offer that we really couldn't refuse. So.
Really? Ah, that's
so
nice.
So we moved out here and been happy here ever since.
Really? So you've been married all this time too, right?
I married my college sweetheart.
Wow.
We've been together.
How cool, huh?
We've been together for a long. In fact, she's out of town for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, and this is the longest separation we've had in 47
really?
Years.
Really? Are you feeling lost?
Yes. But I'm here with you guys.
What are you eating every night?
Oh, my God.
McDonald's.
I'm getting sympathy calls. I'm getting sympathy calls from my son and my friends.
Oh.
And I was pretty happy with baseball until last night. I was watching a lot of baseball. But I'm getting through. It's an education.
Right. But it must feel nice, like a pretty good accomplishment to be married for so many years.
Oh,
right?
I have a wonderful marriage.
What is the secret? I mean, first of all, your college sweetheart, right?
Yes.
Wow. So it's like you were meant to be, right? I mean, those are soulmates when your whole life you spend with the same person.
Yes.
We were pretty lucky. We were 21 and just, you know, we found each other at the right time. And
so did it
you can hear that, can you?
I don't think anyway.
People heard that knock.
Yeah. Now, did that involve hard work or did it come naturally for you guys to get along all these years?
Nah, it's pretty easy. We
really
love and respect each other. We were friends before we got involved romantically, so we had a good foundation of respect and love. And she's just they say all men marry up, but I really married up.
Oh, that's amazing. I think that's key in a relationship is to be friends with them before you start dating them or something.
Yeah, you really do, you know, because otherwise you don't have that connection, you know.
Exactly.
It's always just the romance, but that sort of like fades away to a different kind of romance. You know, it's not like the butterflies in your stomach and all that stuff. It's a different kind of love, wouldn't you say?
Different from the initial infatuation, but it's still romantic and it's just a deeper romance.
Very cool, very cool. Well, I have something to look forward to with my next wife. The third one that's going to show up.
There's the charm.
There
you go.
There's the charm.
In the meantime,
maybe in Oregon. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Here, there's a lot of women, but nothing's been happening with me,
goodness.
So I don't know what's going on.
I feel Los Angeles, it's hard to stay in a relationship sometimes. Not speaking for me personally.
Yeah.
But I've heard a lot of people say it's hard to, you know, so much temptation to commit.
Right.
Here
there's a lot of different people.
Yes.
And then you get on those dating apps and it's just like you swipe left, you swipe right.
God.
It's people are not that important, you know.
And people are involved in their careers here. So they have that priority. And
right. Everybody wanting to be famous and everything, you know. So it's hard, you know.
It is. Everyone's you know, scrapping. So,
right.
So sometimes, I guess, romance has to come second.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, I've been pretty searching for a long time. Nothing's happening.
No dating apps? No luck on the dating apps?
No luck at all, man. My age group sucks. I don't find anybody that I'm attracted to, which is unusual. But, you know, I mean, I don't imagine that... Well, I don't know. I don't want to.
That's another show.
I know.
Welcome to the dating show.
Enough self-deprecating. I don't want to make myself look like totally.
Someone
not
could
worth
be listening. You know?
Exactly. I am worth something.
Right.
You know?
You probably have a number one fan that's been listening. They're like, you don't understand.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, any stalkers out there?
Exactly.
Any stalkers?
Yeah, make a sound. Let me know you exist. You know? Brenda, what made you move to LA from Vegas? How long did you live in Vegas?
I lived in Vegas for about almost 3 years.
3 years, yes, okay. Three so years. That was cool. 3 years, and yeah. Then you decided what? It was too small for you?
It's going to sound so soap opery. I met a guy.
Okay, that's, totally. That's what it is. I didn't even have to ask.
Yeah. Yeah, I met a guy that I'm not with now, okay. But at the moment. So,
but you moved where he was,
yeah,
right?
I moved with him to San Francisco area. He was going to school there. So
I see.
So we both decided to go to school together. And then we broke up. And then, like, fast forward, we moved together to Los Angeles before we broke up. He was becoming a movie producer.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, so and you guys moved here.
Yeah, and we moved here. And it was right, the temptation in Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah.
So he was tempted or you were tempted or
he
who?
He said we needed... I love... Yeah. This was so amazing how he put it out. I'm like, wow, I got to give you, props for that. But at the same time, I'm like... I'm angry. I can't say it on read about. But he's like, we need 6 months. You need to go sow your oats. And I'm like, sow my oats? Yeah, what are you talking about?
He decides for you, yes. Right?
Yeah. He goes, very we need nice. 6 months. I'll call you in 6 months. I'm like,
oh my God.
Bye.
Like, whatever. Bye. I know what you want to do. And sure enough, he did. And then I came back to Los Angeles. He made me fall in his trap again. But I really came back for school.
Yeah.
And we met up and it didn't work out and I finished school and I met this amazing man.
Yeah, how long were you together with this? I'm wondering how long were you with him before this happened? The other guy.
Oh man, we dated for almost 7 years.
7 years and then he pulled this on
you. That's like a marriage.
Oh my God.
Well, there's some law in California where they say
it's common law. It's almost common law.
I almost got him for that comment.
you're well rid of him.
You invested so many years, and then he just...
I know.
You're right. I guess the temptation is like that, because all the beautiful people move here, So it's hard. It's hard.
Well, we have one right here.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Take a look over here, too, man. I'm not too bad myself. But he's like, I don't care about guys, man.
I feel with the beauty in Los Angeles, it's a lot of, I'm not saying anybody, but superficial too, I feel. There's like pressure for plastic surgery.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But you know what happens in LA, and I noticed this, is like people come from small towns. They're the most beautiful people in their town, and then they come here, and there's people that are much more beautiful than they are, and they get depressed.
Yes.
You know, it's like, what is it? I'm used to attention, and suddenly I'm just another one of these people, So I think that's hard on a lot of people, mm-hmm. But that's why we have a lot of beautiful people here, because everybody's attracted to Hollywood, But anyway, back to Peter. By the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Peter Seth, and Brenda is joining us on the show today, too. And finding out more about her than about you, right?
That's okay.
I know. We need to know.
It's wherever the talk goes.
Yeah, exactly. But Peter is a lot of fun, and you wrote the book When I Get Out. What was the name of the first book again?
What It Was Like.
What It Was Like. Okay. So give us a little background about the first book so we know where we are starting off.
As I said, the first book was about an obsessive teenage romance that led to murder.
Wow.
Oh,
and
was there like jealousy there and things like that?
It's very involved. It involved the girl had problems with her parents and there was a lot of involvement. I think everybody had a teenage romance that was very involving and might have been somewhat destructive. They didn't necessarily need to murder, but everyone went through that. That's sort of why I wrote the book.
Like, I'd kill her or something. I want him dead.
I think that falls into adults, too.
It's true. Yes. So anyway, then the new book is about what happens 40 years later when the boy gets out of prison and tries to redeem his life.
Wow.
So he's a lot going on. Just
so 40 years in prison. Wow. You know what? If I was faced with 40 hours, I'd kill myself. How do you do 40 years?
I did a lot of research about prison.
I'm sure. Wow.
You don't really want to know what goes on in prison. So that's why I say jump to parole when he gets out.
Right. Did you do any interesting interviews? Like go interview some inmates or anything to get a little?
No, I mainly did book research. There's a lot of stuff. Yeah. A lot of stuff on the online.
Have you ever visited a prison? I mean, not as a prisoner, but have you ever been to one?
I've been to an asylum. A locked up asylum. But not really a prison.
Right. Good
that?
For you.
Yeah.
You didn't.
I was visiting a friend. Oh. It's a long time ago.
When you said that right now, it reminded me of the film The Joker.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you just see it?
I just recently watched that, yeah. And it really addresses a lot of mental issues that people are really having and highlights it.
Oh, good.
Have you guys watched it? I'm not going to be spoiler alert.
That's okay. No.
Well, the story is pretty much known, but I'd like to see that too, you know. I hear there's a lot of violence and stuff too, you know.
Yes.
Your story gets violent with the murder and everything.
And then when he comes out of prison, he tries to live a good, anonymous, normal life. But he's sort of a famous killer. He was the Ivy League killer. It was a famous trial in the first book.
Where did this take place in what city?
The first book is it's New York. The first book is more a Long Island book.
Okay.
This new book is more of a Westchester book,
where
he's paroled into and where he gets his first job and his involvement there.
Do you have a lot of? Do you spend a lot of time on his time in prison?
No. Thank goodness.
So you just jump.
Flash. Yes, I didn't want to deal too much with prison life. Just
right.
You know, it sort of has molded his life, unfortunately. But he's trying to come out of jail and a prison and redeem his life. And he also has an extra complication in that his lawyer stole the money that was left to him by his parents.
Oh.
Really?
So
he come out with nothing.
He comes out with nothing, but there's something there. So he has to decide whether he can legally go after this lawyer without jeopardizing his parole. So
because he wants revenge.
He wants revenge. He wants his money. He wants his dignity.
Wow,
His legacy, what he called the legacy left to him by his parents.
Right. I mean, how do you start a life after 40 years in prison?
Exactly.
You know, that's got to be like, that's what you probably examine in your book, right?
It's funny. I was talking with someone about that. And while he gets out of prison after 40 years, a lot of people today are getting out of a marriage or starting a new job or recovering from an illness. And they really have to start all over again.
Or returning from war, right?
Exactly. So a lot of people, they might not be out of prison, but they have to start their lives anew and really try to find what they want to do with the rest of their lives.
Right. But except, I mean, his is going to be totally different. I mean, to be in prison for that long, I would imagine you probably don't know what is expecting you when you come out, right?
He has a lot of culture shock. Coming out, he almost is like Rip Van Winkle. He's just woken up and coming into the new world of social media and smartphones and the way people treat
totally
each other
different.
These days. It's a totally different world he comes out in.
Right.
And his learning curve is very steep.
Almost like Rip Van Winkle, where he's gone and then suddenly he comes out and it's a whole different world.
Right.
Yeah.
But he wants to, cling to important values for him. So his life isn't totally ruined,
but people still remember him, right? As a notorious killer.
Yes.
So that would be that would get in his way of living a normal life.
It does, and something happens in the book that he has to sort of come out of hiding, which sort of complicates his life further.
Wow.
So he is a good story.
Yeah.
What about the parent or the family of the young girl that he killed? His girlfriend.
Fortunately, they're all gone.
Or they're no family. Oh,
no,
okay.
Fortunately, they're all gone.
Yeah.
He escaped that.
Wow. Now, how did you get the idea for the book? Is this something that had been brewing for you for a while?
It was like the first book, a book about teenage romance, that I had in my mind for a long time. That was always the book I was going to write because it was, universal.
Right.
And I didn't really think I was going to do a sequel. But as soon as I finished it, I said, wait, there's another story here.
Right.
And I can sort of complete the first book sort of leaves him in a bad place. He's in jail we leave him in jail. So now I can get him out and sort of give him a better ending.
Right.
And tell what I want to tell about life in America now.
Right.
So I just jumped right into it and just, I had a great time with it.
Yeah, very nice. You know, I mean, I don't know that I could come up with an idea for a story, you know?
I don't know.
I mean, so that's why I admire people that can write fiction and stuff, because it's a big story. It's not like, he killed, he went to prison, he got out, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you have to create like a whole mood, a whole backstory, things like that, right?
That's what you want to do as a writer. You want to create a universe that the reader can enter into and be alive in an alternative universe, really.
Right.
As as a writer, do you ever put yourself like in the character? Do you become the character? Do you ever feel you have to, it's like fun. Actors sort of things?
I think so. It's like I was talking to someone else. He said, when you're a writer, you're the director, you're the actors, you're the art director, you do the CGI, you're doing
many
it
hats.
All. That's many true. Many hats to make it real. And yes, you lose yourself in your characters.
Do you have the little notepad on the side so when you're dreaming or wake up, you're like, I need to write that down?
I'm a compulsive writer downer, I must say. So I don't want to lose anything, you know?
Yeah. Wow, very interesting. So I like the story. Now, does this happen? When did the original book take place as far as time?
The late 60s. It's sort of the like late 60s. Summer of Love.
So he's coming to the future, which is today.
He gets out in 2010, so the book goes from 2010 to 2015.
I see, okay. The Summer of Love, that was 69?
Well, in San Francisco, it was 67.
67.
And it was 68 and 69 when my book takes place. Right. It's basically, you know, the Woodstock era.
Yeah, Woodstock era and stuff. So the time you grew up too, right?
Yes.
Like I did too.
Right.
And so you were familiar with that. It was easier for you to write it.
It was, and through the benefit of the internet, there's a lot of research you can do. It's so great. In the old days, you have to go to a library.
The library.
Now
right.
you can just click and find out great stuff.
Everything's there, right?
Everything at your fingertips.
There's some good things about modern life. And that's
one of them. Just some things, like you said. Some things are terrible, you know. I mean, you see these kids, you know, with their phones and their tablets. And you go, my God, you know, what are we doing to our kids? And essentially, they're doing what we're doing, you know? They're just modeling what we're doing.
They're taking advantage of what's there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, I wanted to ask you now about a book. I mean, this looks like it was professionally printed and the cover and everything. I mean, this is definitely something that I would pick up at the bookstore. How did you connect? Because, I mean, there's a whole part to marketing a book and all that stuff. How did you go about that?
Well, I have a wonderful publisher, The Story Plant. And I guess my agent, my film agent, knew that I was doing a book and found my publisher, Lou Aronica, who's a wonderful book guy. And he liked my book and published it. So
now he
loves me. And he has a beautiful... production job, as you can see. It's a beautiful book.
Very professional. Very, you know, I mean, many people, they just, their first, second book is self-published. You know, it's not as impressive and stuff.
Self-publishing is fine. There have been a lot of great self-published books.
Right.
But I'm happy to have a good New York publisher. And there's also the e-book is out there, so people can put it on their Kindle, too.
Right.
You know, and I think the paperback is going to come out later, but now it's just hardcover and Kindle.
Right. And did this just come out? Or?
September 17th.
Oh, okay. So it's
just right here. Yeah. Get it while it's hot.
Yeah. Did they book you for any book signings and things like that?
Tour anything?
Yeah, I did one at Book Soup. I was going to be here the day before our first cancellation.
Right.
I did Book Soup in Flint Ridge Bookstore in my hometown of La Cañada. And now I've been doing some interviews, some podcasts. And
very nice.
I have my website and just getting word out there. And fortunately, people seem to be liking the book. The first reader's reactions are really good. So that means everything.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You want people to like your stuff.
Of course. It's like your baby, you know.
Right,
it finally
right.
comes out and everybody, you can show it off to everybody.
Yes.
You know? Very nice, man. Well, we're really happy for you. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Peter Seth. He wrote a book, What Was It Like? What It Was Like. And that was several years ago. When did you write that?
2014, 5 years ago.
5 years ago. And then right away you went into the sequel.
Right.
Wow.
Who would you say is your toughest critic on your book? That you're like, if they read it.
My wife.
Your wife. I was.
and she's a wonderful, she has 3 books published. So she's already ahead of me. But she's a really wonderful editor. And she edits my website. She edits my life. So
really,
I'm in good hands.
So yeah, it's good to have a good editor. Obviously,
totally.
You know, you got to have somebody looking at your work, another set of eyes to say this is you need to do it this way and change this. And
I had wonderful help, not just from my wife, but from my editor, from Lou, my agent, everyone. You know, the first draft is you sort of on your own,
right.
But then I got lots of good help from people who said, right, do this, do that. And it helps. Any help is
you have to be open-minded, right? Because, I mean, I would probably get irritated. You know, don't tell me this is not good the way I see it.
You want people to say, oh, it's perfect, do nothing, just print it in gold. But, you know, everything needs work.
Yeah. Even when they say it's perfect, you're like, well, are you sure?
Exactly. Yeah, I always suspect, you know, I'm really a fraud. You know, no one likes this.
Yeah. Wow. So a little bit about, so you researched prison life, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and so he went, so obviously he went through some hard times in prison too. Did you describe that too?
Just
like a backstory,
just a little bit. I didn't want to do too much in prison. I mean, obviously, it affected his character, but I'm mainly interested in his life.
His life afterwards.
I didn't want to dwell too much on prison because that's another book.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah.
Plus, it's depressing. You know, I don't want to read a whole book on prison.
Exactly. You know, this is a tough story, but it's a hopeful story.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes people spend too much time on things that are not, you know, like. Like, I'm reading Stephen King's book, the new one, it's called The Institute, right? And it's like page after page after page of almost the same thing. I'm like, come on, let's move forward. Yeah. But he does that. You know, he goes like, he gets like stories and all that stuff. But sometimes I get impatient. It's like, mm-hmm. come on, let's go. So if you started getting into the prison life, I mean, for 40 years, you know, it would have taken up two books just there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, this the outside world is challenging enough.
Right.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So he was a notorious killer, right? I mean, he was somebody that people still remembered 40 years ago.
Yes, the Ivy League killer.
Wow. Why was he so famous about it? I mean, was it famous people involved?
No, it was just one of those thrill killings that it was young love gone wrong, and the girl was beautiful.
So people could relate to that story.
It was just one of those murders that the media gets a hold of and sort of maintained his fame.
Right.
She was a famous victim.
Now, was his trial pretty famous too?
Yes.
When he went through the trial?
He didn't testify at his trial.
Yeah.
Which was a big mistake. So the first book is his testimony that he would have given.
Mm. Oh.
So then this book comes out, and this is where he's sending this book to four different law enforcement offices because his life is in jeopardy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So that's sort of why he writes all this down. Wow. And he goes on quite an adventure of self-discovery as much as...
That testifying, when the accused testifies, are you saying it's a good thing then? Well,
He should have testified.
He should have testified in this story.
Because he found guilty. But on the other hand... Yeah. OJ didn't testify, and he was freed. So I think each trial is different.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And OJ had, you know, an airhead judge also, you know. I mean, the whole thing was like... I've read so many books on that.
I know, that's another book.
Yeah, right? Wow. Very interesting.
Did you guys watch the OJ Netflix series?
No, I didn't watch that.
Everyone said it was great.
Really? No, I didn't watch that.
So
I think maybe I've OD'd on that in 1995 when they had the trial.
Like,
you know,
it
was way too much.
So long ago now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
And he's still in the news, you know?
People are like, still alive.
Yeah, following him on Twitter. And all. Yeah, right. I know. Well, he keeps making mistakes, though, you know? Because that's who he is, you know? I mean, what are you going to say?
What a story.
Yeah, right?
What a story, yeah.
So you're into crime and writing about this and stuff. Are you going to write another book in the series, or what's in the future?
I think I'm done with Larry's story here. Yeah. Now I'm actually working on a play now because it took me 12 years to do these two books, so I'm going to take a little break from prose.
Yeah,
I'll go back and write another book, but I have this play I want to write. My best friend's an actor, so I'm going to write a play for him.
Really? And is this the first time you write a play?
No, I've written plays before, but not for a long time. But I have a nice little idea for him, I think.
Really?
Can you give us a little sneak peek?
About fathers and daughters.
Oh.
Okay, that's
interesting. I have a daughter, so I have a lot of raw material.
That's true. How many kids do you have? Just the one?
No, I have a son and a daughter. And two grandsons. So that's the best thing. This year I had a second novel and a second grandson.
Yeah, there you go.
Some things are good.
Yeah, that's good. Life is shining and smiling.
I say my micro life is fine. I know about the rest of the world. My micro life is good. Okay. You know?
The hell with the rest of the world. Let it blow up. Who cares?
Yes.
Very nice. So you're a very fortunate guy, and I admire that. You know, I mean, you've taken advantage of your good fortune and everything. So you're going to write the play. Do you have any other stories in your mind that you want to put in book form?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, so these things, and you write them down, and it just kind of waits there as a manuscript, or how does it work?
I start taking notes, just put down scraps, and just you start accumulating notes, and you're not locked into writing a perfect draft. And you start to accumulate your notes and your story, and eventually you can start.
Is it going to be a similar genre, or are you looking for something else?
Working on it.
Okay.
Working on it.
All right. Well, you don't have to give it away.
No.
You have something to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. It's still raw clay. I still have a lot to work on.
Yeah. Very nice. Have you traveled?
I love to travel. I wish I traveled more. LA is sort of far away.
I know,
from
isn't everybody?
But I guess the last travel I did a cruise, my first cruise
cruises are fun.
They're great in the Baltic. So I saw
in the Baltic,
Stockholm, Copenhagen, St. Petersburg.
Wow,
Bruges. Oh, it was one.
That's kind of a not many people take those cruises. They go to the Caribbean and Mediterranean.
Yeah, this was wonderful. All cities I had never visited before, and wonderful museums. And
how cool? How long was the cruise?
I think 12 days.
12 days.
And then
that's a long time.
We tacked on some days in Stockholm at the beginning and Amsterdam at the end. And so it was about 3 weeks. And
that's amazing.
We had a blast.
Yeah.
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Did you do this in the summer when it was nice weather, right?
It was nice. A little crowded, but not that crowded. I was afraid of the crowds because of the summer. But
right.
Because we usually try to travel in late September when all the kids are back in school.
Right.
The weather's still good, but it's a good time to travel.
Right, but not there. It's already cold and rainy.
So we had to go when the boats were going. But it was a blast. So I love traveling.
How was it coming back from the 12 days? Because I know being on a cruise, you get used to that life, the cruise lifestyle,
it was
everything.
Nice, boy. No, they treat you nicely.
Yeah.
You
know? But when you come back, you're like, I have to do stuff.
Well, you come back and you take a 12-hour plane ride and you're exhausted. You say, I need a vacation from the plane ride. I need a vacation from LAX. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh,
have you been on a cruise at all?
I love cruises. I go every year with my family.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's like traditional. Yeah, we do cruises all the time. We've even been up to 80 people on a cruise.
Oh, really?
Good for you.
Yeah.
I bet that's so much fun.
We're the typical Hispanic family that's like, we rolled deep. Yeah, we have a bunch of people.
You took over the freaking ship.
Yeah. We were always in the video, the video that they have around the boat. So everybody would
I bet it's a great family vacation.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun.
And no one has to do with the cooking. They do all the cooking and all the cleaning up. It's,
They
make it easy.
It's hard to come back from a cruise. You're like, I have to cook now. I have to clean.
I have to make my own bed.
I know. You don't have to drive. You don't have to take your wallet with you. It's
very efficient.
Have you been on any cruises?
Yeah, I've been on several, but it's been a while. Yeah. The last one I've been on was 30 years ago.
There you go.
Things have changed, right?
Yes.
I should try new ones.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And today they're not as expensive, cruises are not really not expensive for what you get,
No, they're very affordable
It does. When you break it down, you get all your food, you get a lot of your your sightseeing, all these other benefits.
Exactly. Yeah. Like a hotel and stuff,
Totally.
Yeah. And casinos and nightclubs and all that. It's amazing. And today, the ships are obviously a lot nicer, bigger.
Yes.
There's a lot going on.
The food's amazing.
Oh, they're floating hotels, really.
Yeah, it is. And you can even get your, airfare included in that and stuff.
I get all these. When you've been on one cruise, all you do is get brochures from every other cruise line in the world offering all these sweetness. Every day I get cruise brochures. Say, hey, this looks good. It's the basket,
But then you have to go through LAX, which is
horrible.
Have you been anywhere other than Europe? Like Africa, Asia?
No, that's on my bucket list. Safari's on my bucket list.
Really?
But no, mainly European travel, really.
Yeah, yeah. Most people, that's what they do.
Yeah.
I'm starting to find some interest in going to Asia, like Japan and things like that.
Oh, Asia's amazing.
Yeah. I'm just like, I've become very iffy about getting on planes, you know?
It's tough.
It's long flights too, you know, and it's just like, I don't know. I'm not into planes anymore. I used to love. I mean, I flew my own plane, you know, at
really?
One point. Yeah,
oh,
and
wow.
almost crashed and
oh,
stuff.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Well. So maybe that's why, right?
You know too much.
It was like, oh, you flew your own plane. And I'm like, okay, this is really
Yeah, but I got to tell you, there was this funny story a couple of years ago. It wasn't funny at the time, right? But I took an edible, a cannabis edible, before I went on a plane. I'd taken them before, right? I mean, for me, it was fine. There's nothing, right? But I'd never been on a plane before. Man, I got on that plane and started freaking out.
And then you started
flying.
I'm
like, I started freaking out. I can't tell you how. I had so much anxiety. I'm like, I got to get off this plane before it even took off. And I'm like, look at these people. They're so peaceful and everything.
How long was your flight?
It was actually an hour, I think, just to Sacramento or something. But God, it was the longest flight of my life. As I'm looking outside the window, I'm like, I'm coming back by car.
No, edibles are hard to handle.
Yeah.
You can't really gauge how much you're getting.
Right, exactly. But no, I mean, I'd been taking them for a while. And, you know, but when you do the same thing all the time, like your daily things and stuff, it's okay. You get used to it. But suddenly to be on a plane,
it
wasn't the same, you know, it wasn't the same. So, so to get on a long flight, I don't know, even without an edible, don't get me on, you know. So that's why, you know, I haven't.
Give me some morphine, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I haven't been to Israel in a while, you know. That 16-hour flight is too much for me, you know.
Yeah, that flight is
I mean, you're happy once you get there.
Right.
You're happy to be there. But
Of course. Yeah. But to be in a tin can at 30,000 feet for 16 hours.
When you say it that way.
Yeah, right?
Really.
But somebody told me something interesting. They said, look, planes are designed to live in the sky, you know? And that kind of makes you feel better, you know? But the thing is, there's always gravity, right?
Yes. No, it is a miracle that we can zoom around the world.
Right.
It's nice.
It's great.
I love it.
But it'd be like 2 weeks on a ship going, you know, 2-3 weeks on a ship.
That freaks me out a bit.
Yeah, so.
Sometimes when I look out to the sea.
Yeah.
I know. It's like endless, right?
Yeah.
Well, we are at the end of the show. Peter, tell again, folks, the book is When I Got Out, obviously Out of Prison, by Peter Seth. You can get the book everywhere, I would imagine, right?
Amazon, your local bookseller, any place. Barnes
right.
& Noble, indie books.
Right. And you were in Book Soup, but that was in the past, so people can go see you there.
Can we see you anywhere else?
On my website, peterseth.com.
Okay, cool. Are you on social media at all?
Yeah, I'm Facebooking. I do Facebook.
Cool.
And my niece does my Twitter and Instagram. She's great. I can't do it all.
Yeah.
Writing's hard enough.
Exactly.
Social media is a whole other job.
Exactly. You have to learn how to do it.
But
whole new language. Totally. I know. Well, Peter, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here, Sam.
Of course. You're very entertaining. And I'm going to pick up the book if you give me one.
Yeah.
I see you.
I got one for you. I got one. A freebie.
Awesome. I love to read books. I always have like 5 books on my table, you know, and I read a little bit of each one every day. Because I can't wait to finish one and start another one.
Yes.
So, you know, but it makes you crazy sometimes because you can't keep up, you know. But it's usually nonfiction books, and then I have one fiction, so I can stay with the story, you know.
Terrific.
But at any rate, so everybody go out and get the book. Brenda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much
you're
for having me.
You're very entertaining, and you're a lot of fun, and we appreciate this. And we like you even though you were a showgirl. That sounds like a great story to tell, and it's awesome.
Yes.
All right, everybody,
me.
Of course. Thank you all for joining us, folks, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.